meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Greetings out there in Radio Land. This is Mike Stark filling in for Mary Fiorito today. There's a happy reminder that today is, in fact, tax day. I didn't know whether to go with tax music or maybe Frosty the Snowman because we had a little weather yesterday here in the Chicago area. For those of you not here, we had a lot of snow. Trees falling down and it seemed like it was Christmas, not Easter. My guest today is a good friend of mine, Kendra Von Esch, and she is an author. She's written the book, Am I Catholic? And welcome to the show, Kendra.
Well, thanks, Mike. Great to be here.
Did you have any snow in your neighborhood yesterday?
Oh, we did. I got stuck at O'Hare when I was coming back from San Antonio. I wish I got delayed in Texas, but then I would have missed this show, and I wouldn't have wanted to do that.
I would have missed it. I wouldn't have even thought second. No, I would have been, I would have come back. Tomorrow's nice. Going to be like mid-60s, so I would have come back tomorrow.
But yeah,
that's true. The airport must have been a joke yesterday.
It was ridiculous. De-icing delays. Can you believe it?
So when you left San Antonio, where it's beautiful, it was what? What was the weather?
Well, it was a little bit blustery over Saturday, so it was only 50 degrees. But when I left, everyone was saying it was beautiful. So I'm assuming it was 70, okay. 80 degrees, nice and sunny. Totally opposite from here.
You know, the worst thing, I always remember, you know, I used to travel between here and Florida a lot in a previous life. And the best thing was leaving Chicago like that. But the worst thing is you're coming in from some warm, sunny climate, and as you're flying into Chicago, all of a sudden it's gray and white down there, and you're like, oh, I'm back to reality.
But at least we get off the plane and we go home. There were people that were freaking out that had connections and had canceled flights. I cannot imagine connecting through O'Hare. That's been a blessing to at least get off the plane and know that we don't ever have to spend the night in that horrible airport.
Yeah, it is nice to live in a major hub, obviously, yes. I mean, yeah. If we lived in Kansas City or Nashville, it might be problematic. But we don't, so
exactly.
too bad. So let's dive into who you are. I met you at Guy Murphy's Total Years Conference a couple of years ago, and or maybe a year ago, whatever. Time flies when you're Catholic. And your book is called Am I Catholic? What the heck does that mean?
Yeah, right. Am I Catholic? Please, not Catholic. Anything but that.
Why?
Well,
I'm proud. I'm happy to be Catholic. So why the hate?
Well, that was initially when I first started coming into the faith, because at the end of the day, I do not want to be Catholic. I would much rather be anything but Catholic. And frankly, I never really practiced any religion for the last 20 years or so. I wasn't even a creaster, wasn't even one of those Christmas Easter goers for a couple decades.
What was it that was so, you know, sorry, folks, but I'm going to just use what comes to my mind because I'm there's no filter with me. Why did the Catholic faith what was so repulsive to you? I don't understand. Like, I grew up Catholic. I love being Catholic. I mean, I'm proud to be Catholic, and so I don't understand when somebody makes a comment. Obviously, you're doing a lot for our faith now, but I mean, it turned you off. It was repulsive to you. Right?
Well,
I mean,
kind of
the way you just, well, yeah, it is strong, but the way you've, you know, this is a Catholic radio show. People are like, what the heck is going on over there?
Right.
Why was it so offensive to you to be Catholic?
Well, you probably were raised in a Catholic practicing family. I was not. I was put through the sacraments, and I mean put through, meaning I was shoved out of the car every Saturday morning to go through CCD.
I hated it. I hated CCD, I didn't enjoy it either. I wanted my Saturdays to myself.
Right, exactly. And we never went to Mass on a regular basis, with the exception of Christmas and Easter. So we were those creasters that stole your seat. And
they don't. I pick them up and move them.
Yeah, there you
get
go.
Out. That's my seat.
So what happened was I didn't understand what the faith was. I do not know how I was confirmed Catholic because I didn't learn. I was not catechized. I had no idea that was the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. I thought Jesus was just God's son, had no clue what the Holy Trinity was. Mm-hmm. My family never talked about religion, faith, Jesus. So the culture raised me. And the culture.
Why'd you have to go to CCD then?
It's funny.
You're a hypocrite? Why do you send me? You don't even go to church.
Exactly. It's the same thing that my mom says. She goes, it was just something that we did back then. So if they were raised Catholic, they made their children Catholic. And again, Catholic by name only. No practicing, no understanding of what the faith is. So when I left my family and I went out on my own, I didn't go to church or Mass or anything for decades, not even Christmas or Easter.
Well, I want to go back there for a minute because I do. And this is a problem. And I just was talking about this a couple of weeks ago with a friend of mine. We were talking about Catholic schools and what percentage of people that send their kids to Catholic schools don't attend Mass.
Right.
And I think the big problem out there, I guess I'm preaching to the choir here, but if you're not backing up what you're forcing your kids to endure, which is what you're talking about, my mom worked in the CCD office. I went to church. We went to church every Sunday. That was a given. I didn't enjoy it, but I was, you know, forced to endure it, and I did. I'd sit in the back and talk and whatnot, but I was in the building. I knew that was what was right. I knew my parents wanted me in church from the get-go. Mm-hmm. So for me, I didn't like CCD. I just thought it was just another opportunity to meet some of the kids that didn't go to school with me, because we had kids. I grew up in Lake Forest, so we had the Lake Forest kids, but we also had the Lake Bluff kids, and we weren't going to school together. We didn't until high school. But so I got to meet some new people, make some new friends. But other than that, I thought, what the heck? It's Saturday. I should be playing ball or football or baseball or doing something other than sitting in a classroom on a beautiful Saturday morning. But the fact that your parents didn't go to Mass, I would have been ticked off too. I was like, wait, what are you making me do this? For what? Where am I going to apply this in life since we don't go to church? And they go to Christmas and Easter Masses, which, you know, a lot of people do that. There'll be a lot of people in the pews next week. And my friends, my good friends that are priests are just saying, here's my one or, I got one or two opportunities to reach people annually.
Yep.
You're in the pews. Let me tell you why Catholicism's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you why you should be coming to Mass, why Jesus is present in the Eucharist, why he died on the cross for us.
I didn't even know why he died on the cross for us. Isn't that sad?
When you pray the rosary.
I didn't know how to pray the rosary either.
You pray the rosary and, he did go on that cross. He was scourged for our sins, meaning that he had the crap beaten out of him with a whip with these, if you've seen the Passion of the Christ. He took that for the sins that I'm going to commit tomorrow or later today. That's what he did. And it's hard to get your head around it, especially if people are just, Catholic in name only. You punch your ticket, you walk in the church, you dip your hand in the holy water, you make the sign of the cross. I'm here, checking in.
Yep.
Listen to Mass, or maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe you're thinking about whatever else. You're not focusing, and then you punch out and say, okay. But to get to heaven, Jesus wants you to want to be with him. So your parents were married in a Catholic church?
Mm-hmm.
You were baptized?
Yep.
At which point they promised to raise you Catholic?
Correct.
And their idea was just, okay, Kendra, go. We'll see you. We'll see you in an hour and a half.
Yep.
We'll pick you up.
See you in the park. Your soccer game then. And then, we wouldn't talk about Jesus or religion or CCD or anything until the next Saturday. Do you guys have CCD homework? And then we'd be doing it in the car on the way. Yeah, it was just the way it was. I mean, I don't blame them. I'm really, quite frankly, blessed that they, baptized me. I had the Holy Spirit with me for my whole life to help protect me, because Lord knows I needed it. I can't imagine what I would have done if the Holy Spirit wasn't with me for 42 years before I stepped foot back in the church. So thank you, Mom and Dad.
Now, are they still alive?
Yes.
They are?
Yes.
So how do they feel about because you're a strong Catholic now.
I am. I left my executive career to help others find Jesus, deepen their relationship with God, and understand and love the faith. So they're both so very proud of me. My mom actually came back to the church, so she's a regular Mass goer.
Good.
Yeah, confession goer. Haven't gotten the rest of my family there. My husband doesn't practice.
We'll get into that. I know.
Right.
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
We've got a whole hour to work with here, so we'll talk about your husband and everything else. But I wanted to just, get a handle on how, because the way you said it was I was offended.
Yeah, and I didn't mean it.
I'm
going to
reach over the table and
pop
you one. But
yeah.
No, it's like when somebody is that offended or repulsed, like I said, by the word Catholic or Catholic Church, I don't understand it, because it doesn't matter what religion you are, we're all God's children, whether you accept it or you don't. Even the atheists out there, we are all creations of God. And the sooner you figure that out, the better you are. He doesn't want us killing each other or fighting each other over our faith. The Irish, back in the 70s where the Protestants would fight the Catholics, for what?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus doesn't want us to fight each other over faith. Muslims, and most Muslims are peace-loving, wonderful people. It's these jihadists, these crazy people that want to impose their will on us. And Judaism is the beginning of our faith. We just took it to the next level.
Right.
With the Jewish carpenter and his Jewish mother that we follow.
Right.
But I'm just saying, for me, I want to dig deeper into what it is that was so offensive to you about why.
Yeah.
What
so
is it?
It's great that you and I are speaking the same language now, because I've received the Lord. I understand God, Jesus, he's graced me with faith. But when I say, am I Catholic? It was when I had no faith. I didn't necessarily not believe in God, but I didn't understand God. I didn't need God. I, again, had the culture and society raise me. All you need to be happy is money, power, prestige, and the culture of me. Pretty much do whatever you want, whenever you want, whatever makes you happy, because life is short, party hard. So that was
party
my...
Party on, Wayne. Party on, good. Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. All right.
That was what I believed. And quite frankly, if I kept... And I did. I went down that path. I climbed the corporate ladder. I became an executive in corporate America as a chief information officer for decades. I had money. I had prestige, power. And yet, I still was constantly comparing myself with others and still had this anxiety and worry. But I thought... Well, that's the way life is. Life isn't supposed to be loving, peaceful, joy-filled. It's just like this. So deal with it, honey. At least you got money, you know?
Get your things that
get,
you can't
right.
take with you.
Exactly. Shut up, Bunky, you know? Buck up, Bunky, and just keep living life. This is how it is. Deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so when I say Catholic, what I thought of was boring mass. I'm not paying attention, even when I'm there on Christmas and Easter. I have no idea what the purpose of the Mass is. And this is a religion of a bunch of rules and beliefs that I, being raised by the culture, didn't believe in. So at the end of the day, I look and I say, well, why would I want to go to the Catholic Church when I don't believe in any of the teachings? I really don't like Mass. I'm not looking to change my life. So... That's the whole idea of who I was and what I believed before I stepped foot in the church, did my research, and found out that this religion is the truth. And then that was when the rubber met the road. Okay, honey, now what are you going to do? You going to change your life? So.
The Church of Me. That's too many people live that world right now. We will continue after this break, and we got a lot to touch on.
Celebrate the Easter Triduum with a beautiful liturgy filled with sacred music, incense, and candles in one of the most magnificent churches in the United States. You are invited to the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. The Triduum begins with Holy Thursday Mass at 7 p.m., Good Friday Liturgy at 3 p.m., Holy Saturday Mass at 7 p.m., Easter Sunday Mass at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located just minutes from downtown Chicago at 1327 North Noble Street. That's 1327 North Noble Street, one block west of the Kennedy Expressway at the Division Street exit. Plenty of free parking available. For more information, call 773-278-2470. 773-278-2470.
The winds have changed. On AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Father Loya invites you to an extraordinary occasion of healing, hope, and grace. Monday and Tuesday, April 29th and 30th, as Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois, hosts the world-renowned International Pilgrim Virgin Statue of Fatima. Come and hear the story of Fatima and venerate this image of our Blessed Lady that has set out from Fatima, Portugal in 1947 to bring the graces of Fatima to all. Hundreds of favors and graces, including cures and countless conversions, have been associated with this image. The International Pilgrim Virgin Statue of Fatima, Monday and Tuesday, April 29th and 30th, at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road in Homer Glen, Illinois. For complete schedule and information, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
You know the IRS ain't gonna rest till they think they've got it all. They got the bluff on a lot of folks, but listen, I ain't one. From now on, I'm keeping my faith. gonna deduct none. So erase my name from your record. Take me off your mailing list. You can write me off, cause I ain't giving a dime to the IRS.
Well, I hope we can avoid the IRS, but I don't think it's possible. You were talking about money, Kendra, so I bet you were paying a lot more in taxes when you were making big money than you are as a Catholic.
You have no idea. It was a great tax season this year.
Was it? So,
yeah, when you make no money, you don't get as much
so
taken.
Let me ask you something. You obviously made a lot of money before, put some of that away, and then you just decided, all right, I'm going to be, you're all in doing the Catholic thing. I can relate. I mean, I spent a lot of money to make the Truth in Life audio Bible, but now I'm doing other things to, you know. I mean, at some point you say, okay, this isn't making money. It's saving souls and it's helping people. But you just decided to go all in, and what possessed you to write this book?
So, well, when I stepped foot back in the church, I had I have to just explain a little bit, because how do I go from nothing, right? I don't need God.
Right.
What do I need that Catholic faith
for? How did
he
touch you?
Yeah, and then I leave my executive career 6 years. So there'll be 6 years this Easter that I step foot in the Catholic Church. And
why'd you do it?
So my dad, I had a call. My dad had a quadruple bypass surgery out of the blue. And I prayed more in those 15 hours than I had in my entire life combined. And I believe that I just, you know, kicked that door open a little bit for God. And I prayed just that he would come out of it with flying colors and he would be recovered fast, because he's 70 years old. He's on ice skates, coaching hockey. I mean, this guy's like, there were no symptoms that he had. He wasn't overweight. He's a healthy, athletic guy. And sure enough, God answered the prayers. And you would have thought that that was what brought me back.
You would have thought it would have brought him back, too.
Right. No. Right. Good point.
Hello.
I'm going to have to bring that up to my dad.
Maybe he can listen to our show.
Yeah. I'll send him the link for sure.
Just this part. Hey,
yeah,
Dad,
right.
Wake up. Hello, McFly.
Exactly. So what I ended up, I was one of those nine lepers that never went back to God,
right,
and thanked him. I never went back to Jesus. And at the end of the day, I bought a diet book. Because I looked at my husband and we both had about 20 extra pounds we were packing on. And I said, listen, this could be us in that. At least we had symptoms, you know, we could have this quadruple bypass surgery coming on us. So let's do this cleanse. I found it on Dr. Oz and, you know, I brought the book home. But inside the diet book, God speaks to you in amazing ways, was this pie chart of different segments of your life. And I saw the one piece of pie that said spirituality. And for me, I didn't interpret that as, you know, all these new age spirituality things. I interpret it as religion. And the only religion I know is Catholicism. And so I said, you know what? I've got nothing going on in that piece of the pie. So I'll go back to church. But I did not choose to go back to the Catholic Church. I was going to go to the one down the street where
the
cops.
Fun one.
Yeah, the cops are directing traffic, you know, like yeah. It must be awesome in
Come
there. I mean,
party.
Look at all those people.
Right.
But the
but they
night,
don't have the Eucharist.
Correct.
Oops.
Yeah, which I had no clue, which I had no clue of. But anyway, let me just tell you, the night before Easter Sunday in 2013, my family convinced me otherwise. My non-practicing, nobody's going to church family says, but you're Catholic. So I stepped foot in the church, scared to death, all by myself. And check it out. Here I am sitting there listening to the announcements at the end of Mass. And they say, next Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday, which I have no clue what Divine Mercy Sunday is, we are going to have confession at 2:00. And for that moment, for the first time ever, I think, really, I thought about my mortality. I was like, confession, holy cow, how long has it been? I started counting on my fingers, and then I, you know, carry the one and the mental math in my head, and I'm like, whoa, 26 years it's been since I've been to confession. And I know I've got some mortal sins on my soul. And by the way, I have a couple that I don't even know are mortal sins at the time. Like, not going to Mass, everybody, is a mortal sin. Let me just share with you. Birth control is a mortal sin. Let me just share that with you. I didn't know those two until I got deeper in my faith. So I didn't decide at that moment to go, But it kind of rocked me back on my heels a little bit, like, wow, confession. Because if I believe a half of a half of a half of a mustard seed of this Catholic faith, then I'm going to hell and fast. So the following Divine Mercy Sunday, I was a direct recipient of Jesus's mercy. And I have to tell you, when the priest was absolving me from my sins, I had this out-of-body experience. I floated up out of my body, and I looked down. I was at the back of my head, which I can picture perfectly what I was wearing. My hair was up in a clip. I had this hot pink golf pullover because I played golf earlier that day. My shoulders were shrugging because I was sobbing uncontrollably. And then when I came back down and came into my body, I could feel myself kneeling, but then this warm waterfall of peace just showered over me. And then I couldn't feel my body. I knew I was there. I knew I was kneeling, but I couldn't feel much of anything. And it was just the most amazing ecstasy feeling I've ever had. And I got to tell you, I've had a lot of drugs in my life, and I could have taken them all and had alcohol and never felt this amazing feeling. And I want to say it was peace, mercy, love. It was just amazing. And then from the tips of my toes all the way up to the top of my head came this energy, this like electrifying shock wave. My body was like vibrating. It was insane. So I floated out of that church and I went to my car and I sat down and I cried for a good 10 minutes. And I just kept thinking, what was that? What was that? Like, there is something about confession and the sacrament of reconciliation that had a supernatural effect on me. And I've apologized to God. I can't tell you how many times for my brutal behavior and my despicable choices and my shameful actions. And never have I felt that. So what happened was, that was when I said, I got to figure out what this Catholic thing is all about, because that was freaky. That was not of this world. That was supernatural. And so that was when the Holy Spirit came into me, and I had this unquenchable thirst of researching what is Catholicism. And that was when I stumbled upon all the rules, the Eucharist, Eucharistic miracles, Marian apparitions, all of the sacraments, understanding what they are, the moral teachings, which were struggles for me. And finally, at the end...
They were for St. Augustine, too.
Right. And, oh, he's one of my faves.
He's my guy.
Yep. Save me! Oh, but not quite yet, you know. I went through a year of struggling with a temptation, and I kept, you know, going to God with my head saying, please stop this, but my heart didn't want to go away from that sin, so
yeah,
I know that struggle.
You're going to confession, you're saying, okay, I'm sorry for this, but I'm going to do it again.
I know. It's But when I did finally, because he just wanted me to have a little more shame, have a little more consequences, and have a little more embarrassment, you know, until I finally got on my knees in adoration one day in tears and just said, you've got to take this away from me. And he did. I mean, praise be to God. If I say that once, I say that a million times, because I do not know what I have done to be so blessed to receive faith and then the realization that Catholicism is true. And then all the graces to help me change my life to become as holy as I can. I can't even believe that I want to be a saint. I want to be as holy as I possibly can. 6 years ago, I would have committed myself to an insane asylum thinking, what's happening to you?
Right.
You know?
I can relate. I mean, if you'd have told me I was going to make this audio Bible and priests call me the Bible man, that's a joke. But I'm getting used to it now.
I need to
stop.
The
Bible man. There's Mike Stark, the Bible man. What?
I need to stop and say, everybody, Mike Stark saved my scriptural life. And I'm just going to say, here's the deal. You know this. I've told you this before, but now I'm going to tell everybody. And I do it, and I tell everybody at all of my talks and all of my retreats when I'm out there speaking about how I'm just not a reader. So why did I write a book? I find that hilarious.
Have you read your book?
I have read my book.
Okay,
also narrated it, so you can get it. It's an Audible book.
And
for those who don't want to read, right?
So,
or don't have time to read. I don't have a lot of time to sit down and read. So I love audiobooks, and I love listening to the scripture in audio form. So in the mornings when I get USCCB emails, you know, sometimes I'm rushed in the morning and I can't read it, so I'll play the audio. Mm-hmm. Well, I stumbled across your audio Bible on Relevant Radio, to be honest. And I was like, oh, my gosh, an audio Bible, because I'm never going to pick up the Bible. I probably would fall asleep after the first chapter because I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And when I popped the earbuds in my ears and I heard music and sound effects and just, it was like a movie in your ears. Every actor is a certain character, and I was blown away. And so here I am traveling the globe with my executive career, walking the streets of Paris, listening to Jesus in my ears, listening to the Bible.
That's Neil McDonough.
Okay, there you go. You're going to have, I know Kristen Bell is in there. Rattle off a couple of the other
Michael
actors.
York, Sean Astin, Malcolm McDowell.
So
John Rhys Davies,
no,
Stacey Keach.
No
Blair
chumps.
Underwood. No.
No chumps.
It's awesome. A fully dramatized Hollywood cast audio Bible. Yeah, I mean, but my buddy Carl Amari, who does the old-time radio, that's how we did it. He did it like an old-time radio show before TV, the radio dramas. And then the neat thing about that, Kendra, is that each person like could listen to the same thing, and we all see something differently.
Totally.
Everybody
and now when I read the gospel, when I do have time to sit down and read it, I can actually hear the audio Bible in my head and the characters in my head. And I picture the scene that I, you know, have conjured up in my own mind.
I always hear the water pouring at the marriage at Cana.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you. So thank you. And I am telling you, I am introducing it to everybody because it did. It saved my life, because I just wasn't going to pop open a Bible. It just wasn't wasn't where I was at that time in my journey. But yet you brought me the New Testament in a way that I couldn't get enough. And it's offline, so you don't even have to be online.
Right.
You know, like
once you download it, you've got it.
Right. I'm not chewing up data or anything. When I'm walking around the streets of Paris or wherever I am in the world, I can be listening to the Bible. It's stuck in the airport, you know, which I was all the time. You know,
yesterday.
Exactly. So thank you. And
thank
everyone,
you.
It's at downloadjesus.com. Downloadjesus.com. I have that memorized by heart. I share it with everybody.
It's easy to remember.
Yeah. So thank you.
And with that commercial, it's time to go to a real commercial. We'll be right back.
Celebrate the Easter Triduum with a beautiful liturgy filled with sacred music, incense, and candles in one of the most magnificent churches in the United States. You are invited to the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. The Triduum begins with Holy Thursday Mass at 7 p.m., Good Friday Liturgy at 3 p.m., Holy Saturday Mass at 7 p.m., Easter Sunday Mass at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located just minutes from downtown Chicago at 1327 North Noble Street. That's 1327 North Noble Street, one block west of the Kennedy Expressway at the Division Street exit. Plenty of free parking available. For more information, call 773-278-2470. 773-278-2470. That's 773-278-2470.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststandschicago.org. That's ststandschicago.org.
I feel so good. Come payday, I think of all the things I'm gonna buy when I pick up my pay, don't you know? But then they hand me that little brown envelope. I peep inside in order to lose all hope, 'cause from those total wages earned down to that net amount that's due, I feel a painful sense of loss between the two.
Federal tax.
There goes that bracelet for her arm.
County tax.
There goes that new fence for my farm.
State income tax.
There goes that brand new Pontiac.
Withholding tax.
There goes the shirt right off my back. You can dream about a honeymoon for two. You can dream, but that's about all you can do. 'Cause by the time old Uncle Sam gets through with you, you can buy her a pair of hose, a little powder for her nose, and take her down to Sloppy Joe's for beer and stew. Them are the facts. After tax, you can dream about vacations in the sun. You can dream, but you can't ever have anyone. 'Cause by the time your good old Uncle Sam gets done, you've got just enough for gas to see them city limits pass. And if you get back home fourth class, I'd say you've won.
Federal tax.
There goes that bracelet for her arm.
County tax.
There goes that new fence for my farm.
Luxury tax.
Send back that shortwave radio.
Insurance tax.
Cancel that trip to Mexico.
State income tax.
Forget that brand new Pontiac.
Withholding tax.
There goes the shirt right off my back.
I'd never heard that song before, but on April 15th, we're going to play some tax-related songs. Johnny Cash, the great Johnny Cash. Speaking of cash, I ain't making no cash, but we're saving souls. So if you can buy your way into heaven, I'm giving it the old college try.
Yep.
And now you're on that track, and you're saving people. So let's get back into your story, because most everybody out there knows a little bit about me. But you're here to share it. So you've written this book, and it's called Am I Catholic? What is it about?
So it's of my journey coming into the church and the struggles that I had with the faith and my struggles with humility and surrendering to God. So that's the subtitle, A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God. And at the end of it all,
it does say all that. Yeah,
it does. That's
smaller
okay.
Type.
Yeah,
it's under, get that on
it's underneath. So it does share my journey and my realization, and then really the challenge to say, okay, well, you know, you believe in this faith, you've researched it, so now what are you going to do, honey? And it was basically, I've got to change, and I need God to help me. It shares a little bit about my struggle with Mary. In the beginning, because I didn't quite get it, you know, one of the chapters is called Mary, 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 like Marsha, 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 what's with all this Mary stuff in the church, you know? So it took me a while to really understand her role and how loving and important she is and why we have such a devotion to her. I've consecrated myself to her four times, and I've finally got there. But it also, you know, shares a little bit about my journey with my husband, who's not practicing mm-hmm. and still isn't practicing, but has seen the transformation in me. It also has a little bit about my mom and how she came back to the faith. And then at the end, it really just goes up to the point where I had a choice. I was in between jobs. I either continue down my path in corporate America, or I listen to what I keep hearing God and my life coach, because I really needed to help someone walk me through my process here, share with me, which was, you really want to go down this other path. So go for it. You know, what do you have to lose? At least give it a shot. So that was when I asked my husband.
Do you mind if I make nothing?
Right, pretty much. Like, and he, God, thank you so much. But he has been so supportive because he's seen the change in me. And he just said the most godlike thing. Okay, we'll take it day by day.
How could anyone hear your story about confession and not be affected, especially if you know, it's your husband or your father who was on his, you know, I'm not going to say his deathbed, but he was darn close. Obviously, it's worked on your mom. I think you're going to find, and I found this with a lot of very faithful people I know, that go to church by themselves. A lot of people are in the pews by themselves. And it can be a struggle for people. Even, you know, well-known Catholic people have had maybe a homosexual in their family or somebody that's very anti the faith. And then you look at some of the greatest speakers we've got out there today, Jeff Cavins, Patrick Madrid. And Patrick Madrid is very strong pro-Catholic. He's got the number one show on Relevant Radio right now. But he dated a girl that was Protestant, and he was always going toe-to-toe with her father when they were dating. It's a great story. But Jeff Cavins and Scott Hahn were both Protestant. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it comes from the deep knowledge, comes from being on the other side. You know your opponent. And say, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Right.
And that's sometimes true. Not that there are enemies, but they're contradicting our faith. And I think we're finding the Lutheran Church coming closer to the Catholic Church than it ever has before, because people are getting rid of the old, you know, standard rules and bylaws or whatever all the other stuff is they're doing. So for us, we're all coming closer. I think there are people like yourself and some of these other people that are coming out and speaking and touching people on all levels. This book is a short, fun read. I mean, it's not a long book. It's big letters, which is good. I always liked the big letters when I was growing up. I wanted pictures, though. I'm not seeing any pictures.
I have one picture of the Holy Trinity to try to explain that.
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah,
I wanted
that's
some
it.
More pictures. Right. Maybe a picture of Jesus in a boat.
Hey, that's maybe there's a boat on the front.
There is a boat on the front. It's stuck on a rock.
Right.
Is that your church?
But
there's
church
nobody,
on the rock.
There's nobody in the book, in the boat. And then there's a dove. But the point is, this book is, and then there's a picture of you looking real fun on the back. How would one, we're going to talk more about this, but how would one go about getting this book if they want to read it now that they've heard your half of your story, because we're going to finish up the rest of your story eventually. How do you get this book?
So Amazon. Amazon.com is the best way, and it's in paperback, hardback. It's in ebook, so if you've got Kindle or something like that, you can order it that way. And I also had the humbling experience of narrating it myself, so there's an audiobook, too. For those who don't like to read, this is the kind of funny thing. I wrote it purposefully not to be long, not to be preachy, not to be, you know, wagging my finger at people, guilting them back to the faith, but sharing all of my struggles coming back and my realizations of the truth and the journey, so to speak. It's funny. It's raw. So you might laugh. You might cry. And I'm just saying what some of those reviews on Amazon say. Mm-hmm. So it's not me saying it myself. But it was when I was in adoration for about 2 years, I kept hearing him saying, write a book, write a book, write a book. And I kept thinking, why would I write a book? I don't even like reading,
right?
You know? And so I think his whole point was, I want you to write the book that's conversational. So it's almost as if we're having a conversation in the book. That's what I've heard. And it's a couple hour read. It's really not over the top, but it really does kind of cover all the battles that I had to go through, all the teachings that I had to struggle with, and, you know, how I accepted them and why I am here. My goal is just to grab all those fallen aways or all those non-catechized Catholics out there. There's so many of them that mm-hmm. don't probably have a clue of what the faith is about.
Why are they going to read your book, though? I don't want to talk to this lady, or I don't want to hear what this lady has to say. Why would somebody want to read that if they're so disconnected themselves, just like you were? They need to be touched. They need to. And hopefully your book can touch them. But why mm-hmm. would I want to read this book if I'm not catechized, if I'm disconnected?
Because so I look at those that are listening who are probably seeking something. They're either Catholic and they're listening to this radio station. I use those as my book ambassadors so that they can hand this to someone. I feel like I'm relatable. I've been there, done that, you know, like I know exactly what you people are thinking about out there. And I just want to share that there's such a better way to live your life. I've never had more peace. I've never been more joy-filled. Joy, what a funny little word. I've never used that word in my life for 42 years, had no real understanding of what the definition of joy was. Saw it around Christmas everywhere, but, you know, I never knew what joy was. And it's not happiness. It is God-given, and it never goes away. And so I'm out there just trying to share the fact that my life is so much better, more loving, more peace-filled. Man, the fruits of the Holy Spirit have just been poured into me. And I just look at people and I just want to save them from the crazy, stressed out, worry-filled, non-fulfilling promises that basically Satan, mm-hmm. you know, tells us all. That we're in a spiritual warfare. I can't believe that I had no clue. I was completely in the dark, completely in the dark. And that's what my passion is to shine a little bit of a light out there. And yeah, maybe you might not be looking for that, or you know, you knew me from high school and you're like, Kendra, or college, or maybe it was through my, you know, drinking days of partying days of career life. You know, I was the one that was hanging out till 2-3 in the morning with everyone. What do you mean Kendra found God? You know, just from plain curiosity. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll pick up the book, or they'll watch some of my vlogs, or they'll come see me speak. I'm really trying to reach through YouTube, through different things, and I honestly feel God calling me to share way too much about my life to help touch those people that are suffering from addictions and things, you know, that they've done in their life, shame and all of that, and know that there's the mercy and love of God is something that, you know, I live for an audience of one now. That's it. Like, you can say whatever you want to say about me, and I don't care. I am going to continue to get out there in as many ways as I can to touch those people that probably would never pick up a book that said mm-hmm. Catholic on it.
You wouldn't.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. But I might look at me on a video and say, that chick found Catholicism. Like, I kind of relate to her.
Right.
Or, you know, she's not wagging her finger at me, making me feel guilty. Oh, she used to be, you know, have addictive tendencies, and she used to party like a rock star, and she used to, you know, have all this stress and anxiety and worry, mm-hmm. and she left her executive career. What kind of an idiot is she?
Exactly. We're trying to figure that out. And we will be back right after this break.
Celebrate the Easter Triduum with a beautiful liturgy filled with sacred music, incense, and candles in one of the most magnificent churches in the United States. You are invited to the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. The Triduum begins with Holy Thursday Mass at 7 p.m., Good Friday Liturgy at 3 p.m., Holy Saturday Mass at 7 p.m., Easter Sunday Mass at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located just minutes from downtown Chicago at 1327 North Noble Street. That's 1327 North Noble Street, one block west of the Kennedy Expressway at the Division Street exit. Plenty of free parking available. For more information, call 773-278-2470. 773-278-2470. That's 773-278-2470.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Winds of Change would like you to know that Illinois will become even more extreme on abortion if several pieces of legislation are passed and signed into law. HB 2495/SB 1942 is known as the New York Abortion Bill. This bill makes abortion a basic right for any reason or no reason at all, up to birth. Among the many shortcomings, this bill jeopardizes any meaningful regulation of abortion clinics. Sadly, this bill would make Roe v. Wade seem pro-life in comparison. Then there is HB 2467/SB 1594, which is the repeal of the parental notice of abortion law. An abortion will no longer require the notice of just one parent when a girl under 18 years old seeks an abortion. This bill effectively takes the power from parents and transfers it to boyfriends, sex traffickers, bullies, classmates, and educators. Contact your local state senator and House representative this week. Do it now with a kind but firm message not to support these bills. Go online to sign a petition with your friends and families at ICE-PAC.com/petition. That's ICE-PAC.com/petition. For more information, visit the Winds of Change homepage on Facebook. Put your faith into action.
That was Cheap Trick, and we're running out of music. Not a lot of tax-related songs out there, but by now you guys are ready to go write that check. Or if you're me, you've got an extension. We'll talk about that in October. I'll send them some candy with razor blades in that as well.
Oh, nice.
IRS people. So, okay, we've got a little more time to chat about you and your book. And again, how you don't have a website where people can go to get your book?
Yeah, it's the most clever name ever. It's KendraVonEsch.com.
How do you spell that?
K-E-N-D-R-A, V as in Victor, O, N as in Nancy, E-S-H.
.com.
.com. Well, .com, okay, not great. .org. .com.
So that's how they can get your book.
Yeah, they can see speaking engagements there. They can check out the media page. So in addition to speaking, I've recently partnered with Shalom World TV as their news anchor. Thank you very much, Mike Stark, for making that introduction.
You're welcome. I thought you'd be good at that.
Thank you. I love that.
They do wonderful stuff.
They do.
Shalom World. Jerry George, hello.
Hello, Jerry. Yeah, and the rest of the team, Donna and the crew. We're regularly filming every week news episodes. So that kicked off. I covered World Youth Day, and then the Pope's visit to United Arab Emirates, which was the first time a Pope ever went to Muslim country, which was pretty cool. And now we're doing regular weekly episodes, which is great. So I'm good. Seeing them quite a bit. And yeah, I would love anyone that wants someone to come out. I speak to parishes, both men and women, because honestly, I go to the men's conferences and I speak about the lack of male faith role models in my life, from my father, my brothers. My grandpas were passed away by the time I was born, so I had no figure there. My husband, not in the faith. Anybody and everybody in my extended family and friends. So it's and what impact, the true impact it had on me, and it wasn't good. And then three men that actually did speak of their faith. Oddly enough, they were not Catholic. They were of the Protestant denomination.
Neither were the three wise men.
Right.
Right.
But at least they spoke about it, and it stuck with me. It was incredible. So also universities, because I just want the poor kids, before they get out into the real world, to understand that life is so much easier with God. Don't lose the faith or come back to the faith if you know, you're running in another direction, and to find your passion and your purpose. I mean, God gave us all unique talents. And I was back in my younger years with a hairbrush in front of my face, acting like Oprah and pretending like I was on E! Entertainment News. I was singing. I wanted to be an actress, but I never followed those dreams because, quite frankly, I thought I was too heavy. I'm just too fat to do that, right?
You're not fat. I'm sitting across from you. If you were, I'd be straight up like, hey, lose some weight, fatty.
So, are you kidding me? You are horrible.
I'd fat shame you. Yeah,
well, that was, you know, I constantly, I'm serious. I had bulimia when I was a kid. I was
really?
Constantly always.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know.
It's a shame. You know what? God gave you the body you got. And
right.
We need
I know
to take
that
care
now.
Of our bodies.
Yes.
So I was joking, of course, of fat shaming. But some people, they choose bad diets.
Yes.
And they can, like you said, oh, my husband and I decided we probably could take better care of ourselves. God only gave you one body.
Mm-hmm.
Take good care of it. Eat right. Exercise mentally as well as physically.
Amen. And
so
spiritual.
What events do you have coming up?
So let's see. I've got a Legatus event. So that's great to speak to business people. How do you live your faith in the business world? I mean, you're not coming in with a Bible and whacking people over the head. I just finished up the Catholics Women's Conference in San Antonio. And I've got, you know, I don't have them off the top of my head. So they're all in on the website under the upcoming events tab.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've got to rush home and update the ones that are out there. I've even got some things booked in 2020 as well. But again, if there's anyone looking for someone like me who, you know, had the transition, but I don't just talk about my journey. I just want to say that it's also about forgiveness. So it's about the God forgiving me forgiving myself, and then also how I've forgiven others, because that was a big struggle for me. I speak about how the Eucharist has changed my life, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and how I rested in the Spirit after a service, a healing service. It was funny because I was like, I don't need to go to a healing service. I'm not sick.
Was this at Guy Murphy's conference?
Yeah.
What happened?
I dropped like a sack of potatoes, and I had no idea what was going on. It was the most amazing supernatural experience ever. People are walking over my head and I could care less. I liquefied into the concrete ground. I was just, again, it was like that river of peace flowing over me. I don't know how long I laid there. It was like 600-700 people at the event that day.
Right.
And I'm
that
like,
happens. I mean, I've been going to his event. He just had it out in St. Charles a week ago at the Mega Center, and there'll be another one in November. It's Totally Yours Conference. And I tell people about it, but I think a lot of people, they get the wrong impression about that. A bunch of weirdos that believe that, listen, there are some people that have been healed. And there's one lady, Colleen Willard, that, you know, she's supposed to be dead 12 years ago, and she's as strong as ever.
Yep.
Cancer. Documented by the Mayo Clinic. So this does happen, and what happened to you does happen to people, but it's few and far between. I mean, most people, when you go to confession, first of all, you're scared, and you're like, okay, I'm scared, and I don't want to do it, and why do I need to talk to a priest when I can talk to God? But you do need the priest. There's no doubt about that. But happened to you is amazing.
Yeah. And so that's why I say in these small, short 6 years, God has just, I think, shot me out of the spiritual canon. I mean, I'm experiencing things that some people that have been in the faith for 30 years look at me and they say, one woman said, I'm so jealous of you. I've never had that happen to me. I think I pray and I have this faith in my head, not in my heart. You know, so I just, that's the other thing is, how do you keep God the center of your life, and how do you feel the Holy Spirit? I've just learned so much. I have a spiritual director who guides me and leads me and helps me discern all of these things. And it's just amazing at the end of the day that, I'm so, so blessed, and praise be to God for everything, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. That's for darn sure.
Yep, this is true. Hey, that's perfect timing. So it was wonderful having you here, and I wish you the best. Obviously, we're going to see a lot more of each other. Again, give people your Facebook page and how they can follow you and keep up with what you're doing.
Yeah, so on Facebook, it's Find Something More. But you can get all social media on my website at kendravonash.com.
That's all for now, folks. You guys have a wonderful week. It's going to warm up. The snow's going to melt. And we'll see you next week. God
What's
bless you.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.